Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast, a podcast where we explore God's vast love for all of us, as well as current and relevant prophetic insight to enrich your soul. Now, here is Patricia King.
Thank you. Hey, how many of you are more than hungry for Jesus this morning? Let's just be still in his presence just for a moment. And the Holy Spirit is here. And he's here with you. And he sees your hunger. He sees your longing. And he's just falling on you right now. It's so beautiful. When the Lord falls on us, when he touches us, when he fills us, he changes us. So Lord, we lean into your presence right now. We lean into your presence. And I just feel like there's so much destiny in this room. This room is pregnant with destiny. And many of you that have come into the house this morning, this is a day to mark on your calendars because it's a turnaround season for you. It's a turnaround season. And I've been seeing two tracks lately. It's just like very clearly two tracks. One is a track of the glory. One is a track of darkness. But this morning, I'm seeing one track is Jesus and the other track is not Jesus. It's just in him or outside of him. And the Lord says, you want to be inside of me right now. He is giving a warning to the people of God. He's giving a warning to the world. It's time to align. This is a time to let go of all the stuff that we've connected to, maybe in our thinking or our actions, our motives, whatever it is that is outside of Christ that doesn't represent the cross, that we are to just release that and let it go and just jump into Jesus like never before. We don't want to be outside of Jesus in this hour. And that's not a fear statement. It's just the truth. You really don't want to be outside of Jesus right now. And if you've been away from Jesus, he loves you so much. He just wants to draw you back into him. He's not out to shame you or condemn you or judge you or get angry with you. He just wants to love you. And he says, come, come, come. And for our online family all around the world, we just love you so much. And Jesus loves you. And wherever you are in your homes or in your office, in your cars, wherever you're watching this right now, Jesus, he's all over you. And he's drawing you to himself. Just yield yourself to him and all your problems. He'll take those too. He'll take those too, all your problems. He'll work it all out. Wow. Wow, there's so much destiny in this room. Can you feel it over your lives? It's a turnaround season for so many of you. It's time to just step into what you were born for. And for some of you, you've come through some really hard places. You've come through some hard places. And you wonder, how could I have made it through this place? But it's because the enemy was after you, trying to deter you, trying to take your faith away. But the Lord says, it's going to work together for good. It's actually going to be the very thing that causes you to step into what you were born for. Savora, that's for you. That word is for you. You were born for such a time as this. This is your time to rise up, you and your house. Chase, that word is for you. This word is for you. You've been through a lot. The enemy has been after you. He's been chasing you down. There has been moments, have been moments where you think, God, I don't think I can take anymore. But the Lord says that he is the victor, and he's going to turn everything around for good. He's going to work it together for good for you. And it is going to actually cause you to step into your destiny. And I see a roar of victory coming forth from you. And it's not only to set things in place in your own life and for those that you love and the circumstances that have been hitting you. But it's like this roar is an anointing that you carry. It's like you were born to be a lion. And this roar that you're carrying is going to set many people free. We're selling independence. And we are independent of the enemy's harassments. Amen? Yeah. So such a good day. Wow. Woo. Well, we're just living in prayer right now. For those of you that haven't been out to our morning prayer meetings, we hold them in the NPR there at 9 o'clock every morning. And we don't come with any agenda. We just want Jesus. We just come and start worshiping him, praying in tongues a lot. And Jesus shows up. His spirit leads us. Every meeting is different. We've been having some of the most profound revelations given to us directly by the Holy Spirit in that time. It's just been amazing. And we're decreeing it out and partnering with the Lord to see his purposes come, and it is amazing. Sometimes we just want to linger and linger and linger and never leave. It's like true. It's really true. And so you're all welcome to come and seek Jesus with us and have your lives transformed in prayer. And I know that all over the nation, I've been hearing of different ministries that are called by the Spirit to do the same thing. I mean, God's just gathering his people to pray, pray, pray. What's going to get birthed out of that? And for those of you that maybe you don't live near a church, or, you know, you can't get to a prayer meeting, well, maybe you can get on your phone and pray with someone for an hour every day, or maybe have someone over to your house that you can pray with. But let's birth revival. Let's birth Jesus, the presentation of Jesus into the world. And this Friday night at Fresh Start Church, if we could have the graphic put up, that would be great. At Fresh Start Church on Friday night, we are meeting in Peoria, for those of you that are local, and we are going to be praying for America, and it is going to be a time of explosive worship and decree and declaration in the Lord. We are going to shift things in the Spirit. We want all of our Shilohites to be there. We want to partake of what God is doing in this valley and in this nation. And we are joining with other ministries, and we are going to be one voice before God to see our state and our nation filled with his glory. Amen. So we want you to be there. There's been a little bit of confusion. People have heard about meeting for prayer at the state buildings, but it's like, no, that's going to be an elite team is being sent there for boots on the ground, but the meeting that we're all going to is in the building, is in Fresh Start Church, okay? So just to clarify that. Father, I just ask for your breath on this word this morning. And I ask, Lord God, that it would transform us and that it would bring fire into our soul and faith into our hearts, that we'll stand in the evil day, that we'll be able to stand because of who we know and because of the destiny plan that you're going to unfold on the inside of us and bring us forth into the manifestation of it in Jesus' name. Well, guess what the title of my message is this morning? The Great I Am. That was such a powerful song this morning. There was so much anointing on it. But I want to open with Exodus 3:14, Moses was met by God in a burning bush, and when he was there, fear fell on him, awe fell on him, and the Lord met with him, and God said to him, "I am who I am." And this is what you're to say to the Israelites: "I am has sent me to you." And so Moses had so many questions at the burning bush, like, who are you? Who do I tell people you are? And it basically is just, I am, I am. And God is the I am to everything that you have need of and to everything this nation has need of. He is your I am. He is your personal I am. And you can start decreeing that out, you know, and saying, God, you are my am as far as my provision. You are my am as far as my healing, my strength, my relationships, the favor level I walk in, the wisdom. You are wisdom to me. You are everything that I need. And so Moses was introduced to the I am. And in this hour, we cannot doubt the I am-ness of God or the greatness of God. We cannot doubt him in this hour. On June 24th, a historic thing took place, June 24, 2022. is that the Supreme Court of the United States of America overturned Roe versus Wade. A tremendous victory. Tremendous victory. And that morning we were in the prayer meeting, you know, just, you know, moments after the declaration was made. And we received an alert from the Lord. And the alert was, you know, this is a battle that is won, but the war's not won yet. And so there's more battles that you will face, but I am great in the midst of every single one of them. And we also talked about the vulnerability that comes following an attack. And I had heard from someone, so I don't even know if this is true or not, but it sounded good to me, so I'm going to share it with you. But I had heard that in actual wartime, if there is a victory, like a battle is won, you could be court-martialed for celebrating that victory because it is the most vulnerable time following a victory for the enemy to bring a counterattack. So that doesn't mean that you're not happy about what happened. It's just that you have to stay alert. And being alert doesn't mean to be afraid. And some of the reactions that I've heard Christians say following Roe v. Wade's overturn have been a little surprising to me, a little bit shocking to me, because they'll say things like, you know, this is horrible. I can't celebrate. I can't be happy about this because I know that there's bad stuff coming. There's more coming. There's going to be retaliations that come. And you know, there's situations. And what about all the children that we're going to need foster families for? And what about all the children we're going to be needing adoptive care for? What about this and what about that? And all of a sudden, all these fearful thoughts or considerations were coming forth that were based on fear rather than faith. And we need to be very careful about that because God is great and He is mighty and He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and what He starts, He finishes. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And so we cannot be in a place of doubt right now because we have started a momentum that is going to continue to grow if we keep our eyes on the Lord. And if we know who the great I Am is. If we understand who He is and the power that He carries. There are going to be political battles out there. But God is greater than politics. There are going to be needs for children to be cared for, but God is well able to provide the care. And He has a people who will say yes. But I do want to throw this in also because sometimes our mind doesn't go up high enough into the Lord. And we can always believe for higher levels of grace. And so we're talking about, oh, we have to have more foster children because more and more people are going to be throwing away their babies because they can't abort them now. And so what are we going to do with them all because the foster care system is already overloaded? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And you can hear the fear in that. But what if? What if the great I Am has a plan? And what if what we read about in Malachi chapter 4, where it says Elijah is going to come, a powerful prophetic confrontation is going to come and bring restoration of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And just what if, in the spirit of revival, that every mother receives the anointing of maternal instincts? And instead of wanting to go out and do drugs, she says, oh my goodness, I've got this life in me that I love so much. I've got this maternal instinct in me. I have to protect and nurture the child in me. I can't do anything but look after this child. I've got to be a mother. I'm going to throw away my drugs. I'm going to throw away the prostitution. I'm going to throw away that life. I'm going to throw away that selfishness. I'm going to embrace the cross and live out my maternal call. And what if that mother all of a sudden has so much love for her child that she'll do absolutely whatever it takes, whatever the cost, whatever the expense, whatever it means to her to raise that child? And what if every man who fathers a child, instead of abandoning the child or boasting about how many babies he has conceived? Yeah, I'm a daddy to eight of them now. I just heard that testimony the other day that someone was boasting about that. I thought, oh, Lord, help us. But what if instead of him saying, just throw the baby into the foster care system, throw it out for adoption, maybe someone else will raise my child. What if the spirit of Elijah confronts that flesh on the inside of him and a paternal instinct fills him and restores him to the father heart for his child? And instead of wanting to throw the child out, he said, no, I'll do everything I can to protect this child. I'll do whatever it takes to make sure my child gets everything he or she needs to be everything that they can be. What if God is that great? What if the great I am can actually revive a heart and confront a heart to align with his purposes? What if God is that great? In the 1960s, my generation blew it on so many levels. I'm ashamed, actually, of what we contended for. We contended for abortion until we got it. We also contended for sexual liberties. Because prior to that era, it was an expectation that you would remain a virgin until you were married. And when you came into covenant, you would give yourself in marriage after you said the vows to the one that you committed to for life. But in the 60s, there was a sexual revolution. It came into the music, it came into the generation, and the voice of the enemy started speaking. False prophets. Speaking the enemy's words, just have sex with whoever you want. You can have a sexual relationship here and then dump them and then go have one here and one there. It doesn't matter. We're sexual beings. We should be able to enjoy sex whenever we want and however we want. Well, did that work for us? Honestly, did that work for us? Every time you violate this word, it's going to have a consequence. Yes, God is a God of love. He will love every sinner. He will love you in the midst of transgression, but you're digging yourself your own grave when you violate the word. Because whatever you sow, you reap. And if you sow to the flesh, the Bible tells you clearly you're going to reap corruption. You'll reap destruction. You'll reap a bad crop. And do you think that you're going to be different from anyone else? Do you think that God's word is for everyone but you? And when we start making blatant political statements in and through the church that no abortion should be fine, a woman should have rights over her own body, you should be able to have sex with whoever you want, you should be able to claim your own sexual identity and gender. Who do you think we're fooling? Do you think God is okay with that? He loves everyone who's saying it, but he knows they're under a deception of the enemy and they're acting stupid. You're stupid when you speak against God's word. And one day that's going to be seen, and you can be in the stupid group or the wise group. I'm serious about this. How are we going to stand before the great I am as we're declaring anti-values, anti-words to the great I am? Are we going to shake our fists at him and say, no, we'll have it our way? We have a right to murder. We have a right to kill our baby. We have a right, and we're just going to tell you where it's at, God. Is that going to work for us? A woman needs to have a choice, control over her own body. Maybe so, but not over someone else's. What are you going to do? Stand before God and shake your fist at him and expect him to go along with you and say, oh my goodness, I never thought of that. Maybe I should rewrite the Bible. No, he's the great I am. He's the great I am. And I tell you, he created a beachhead for us. Roe v. Wade being overturned is a beachhead. And it's going to be one battle, one after another, if we will be on God's side. If he has a people in the earth who will stand for him, it'll be one battle, one after another. And I don't know whose side you're going to go on, but I'm with I am. I'm going with I am. Oh, he's so amazing. He's so amazing. He's going to give us every single battle. We're going to have victory. It says that he will always cause us to triumph. Not some of the time. Always. We might have to wait a little bit. We waited a little bit for this one. And he did it in the most craziest time. Everyone thought that if we just had the right person in place, it could happen. If we had the right government leader in place, we could happen. Well, it could happen, but he's greater than a government leader. He's greater than the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's greater than it all. He's just looking for a people who will partner with him. We can't doubt the greatness of the great I am. God had promised his people after he delivered them out of Egypt, which was a huge thing. It was not by might or by power. It was by his spirit. They couldn't have delivered themselves. It was a great I am who delivered them. They go through the wilderness and they're getting ready to go into the land that was promised to them. Yes, it was a direct promise from the Lord. Do you have prophetic promises over your life? Do you believe them? Time to get them out, shake the dust off of them, and take hold of them and walk in them in this hour. So they sent some spies into the land to just get a landscape of what was going on, and they're going to get ready to go take their land. And so he sent spies out, and the spies come back, and all but two said, whoa, it's a really good land out there. I mean, we saw the fruit of it. It's crazy, awesome fruit. I mean, such as we've never seen before. But the thing is, there's these giants there. And we are like grasshoppers before the giants. What did it have to do about we? It wasn't about them. It was about the great I am. When you see the big giants, that's even a greater testimony for the Lord. When you say, I can't do a thing about this. I have no power to take out that giant. I might be like a little grasshopper before them, but it's not about me. It's about the great I am. And I could be a little grasshopper down here looking at a big giant, but what they're seeing is the great I am behind me. And if you've got the great I am behind you, you can win any battle. But they came back with a negative report. Because they forgot the greatness of the great I am. And God wants to stir your faith so that you will know that your God is going to settle some issues. And he's inviting you to partner with him. You can go on whatever team you want, but I'll say you don't want to be on any other team but his. 100% his. Not, well, I'll see if I can maybe do 50% this team, 50% the other. No, God only takes 100%. Because he is the great I am. And when we put our foot into the devil's camp, he'll just not only take the foot, but he'll pull all of you into the camp. How many of you have known that to happen in your life? When you gave him a little inch, he took a mile. When you give him a little bit, he'll just snare you and take the whole thing. That's why God warns us about keeping his ways. We have to believe the promises of God. They're yes and amen. There's seven I ams in the New Testament that lead to Jesus. What does he say? He says he's bread. He says, I am the bread of life. And that he that comes to me will never hunger. And he that believes on me shall never thirst. You know, I love telling God how hungry I am, because I know if he knows that I'm hungry, he'll fill me. That's his promise. Blessed are the hungry. They'll be filled. So every day I say, I'm really hungry, Lord. I've never been so hungry. In fact, I'm so hungry, I don't even know if I could be satisfied. That's how hungry I am. Because I know his word. He says, if I'm hungry, he's going to fill me. I'm thirsty, Lord. I'm so thirsty, I can't take it. Because I know that if I'm thirsty, he'll fill me. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for him? I'm not hungry for revival or miracles, even though I love all that stuff. I'm hungry for him. I want him. I want to live inside of him, inside of his presence, in such massive hugeness that I can't even describe it. Woo. He says, I am the light. I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Is he your light? Is he your light? Are you letting him light you up? Is he the I am inside of every bit of darkness that might be attacking you? Because he will bring light, and he will make you to be a light. He will make you to be the light of the world. We can't shine light if we're filthy. And there is going to be some pretty big exposure coming up in these coming days of those who are living two lives. Those who are living as hypocrites, there will be some exposure, some more exposure coming up, because God is looking for purity. God is looking for those with a pure heart. He is so merciful. If you repent, if you come to him and say, God, I've repented. I was talking, you know, to a minister recently who just said, you know, I transgressed the Lord, but I admitted it right away, and the Lord forgave him, and the Lord worked with him and healed him and worked with him to reestablish everything that was broken. Because you see, when you transgress and give your life to the devil, he will break you and your life will suffer. But God loves you so much that when you turn to him, he'll fix it without condemnation, without judgment. But if you don't repent in these coming days, there's going to be issues. Because what you're saying by not repenting is, I like the devil's camp better than God's. Even though God's giving me some favor right now, I like the devil's camp better. And that favor's going to lift off. Everything's going to get exposed, and your life is going to be crushed. This could happen. This level of exposure could happen 1 minute from now. So you've got a minute if you want to repent. I'm telling you, he's that merciful. But you have to remain repentant. It's not like, oh, forgive me, and then the next moment you're back at it again. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He is your door. Doorway into glory. Doorway into power. Doorway into everything good. He says, I am the good shepherd. John 10:11, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He's all these things to you. He's the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. We just go from one realm to the next. We don't taste death. Woo. He also says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. And he says, I am the true vine. John 15:1. And you are in him. You get your nourishment from him. You get your power from him. And so in this hour, we are going to see the I am manifest great glory. And he's inviting each and every one of you to partake of that glory. And everyone who says yes to him is going to be included. No one's going to be left out. If that's your desire, you are going to be included. So I'm going to give you some postures to connect with the great I am. And the first one is to believe in the great I am. Believe in him. Believe in his abilities. Believe in his promises. Believe in his word. Believe in who he is. When you watch the news, and I highly suggest not, but if you do watch the news, and you get frightened by all the stuff out there and all the propaganda and all the reports, all the retaliations they're sharing, you have to at that moment believe in the great I am, that he is greater than anything that you're listening to. He is greater than anything that you're watching. He's greater than any report that is being declared, and most of them are lying reports. Do you believe in the great I am? And do you believe that even though there might be more battles, that we win every single one? We're not afraid of a battle. We're not afraid of a good fight. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We have to believe in the great I am. If he can overturn Roe v. Wade, which is a miracle, and he put everything into its place over the years, he filled the bowls of incense in glory, and he just did it. He just decided, okay, today's the day. June 24th is a good day. And he did it. And he can do every battle the same way. Just don't doubt him. Don't be like the spies that came back with a negative report. Be like Joshua and Caleb and say, yeah, there's giants out there, but our God is well able to take them down. Be like David, who looked at Goliath and said, yeah, he has no covenant with God. I can take him out, no problem. No problem, because I know the great I am. He was with me to take out the lions and the bears when they were attacking the sheep. He can take out this giant, no problem. He never doubted the great I am. Believe in the great I am. Secondly, pursue the great I am. Pursue him. Stir your hunger to know him. Be a God chaser. Chase after him. Just tell, saying, God, I'm not waiting for you to come to me. You know, God is already with you. He's not holding anything back. It's just sometimes we are distracted. And so there's something about stirring up your focus when you say, I'm passionate after you. I'm going after you. I'm going to scream after you. I'm going to chase after you. I'm not letting go of you. I'm going to be like the woman with the issue of blood who's going to hold on to that garment and pull virtue out of you. I'm going to be like blind Bartimaeus who yells until you listen. I mean, he's always listening and everything, but sometimes we have to position ourselves. We have to break through our own resistance. Be a God chaser. There was a priest, Philip Neri, back in the 1500s, and a well-known miracle took place. He was just chasing after God. He was chasing after God with great earnest. So he would get down before the Lord for hours. Say, oh, God, I need you more. I need you, God. Only you, God. And he, with great earnest, was seeking the Lord and asking the Holy Spirit, crying out to the Holy Spirit, saying, I want your gifts, all of them. I want your power, all of them. And as he was pressing in, you know, Paul said to press, right? As he was pressing in after God, this sign and wonder took place. This globe of fire came and it entered into his mouth while he was saying, God! This globe of fire entered his mouth and lodged in his breast. And he was suddenly filled with a fire of love such he has never known. His whole being got filled with a fire of God's supernatural love of the I am. And he was unable to bear it. He couldn't bear it. So he threw himself on the ground. And he was trying to cool himself off. And he bared his breast to try to temper the flame and its intensity. And he was a little recovered and tried to get up. And he was filled with joy. Then his body began to shake with a violent tremor. And putting his hand to his bosom where he was feeling the big flame of the fire, he felt by the side of his heart a swelling about as big as a man's fist. And then after that, he was constantly filled with this new fire of love. He was known for his love. And he manifested the love of God. And every time he would seek the Lord, he would be visited by this fiery love. You see, if you will dare pursue God, I'm not saying that that's going to happen to you, but something will happen to you. You just keep pursuing him with all your heart until you know, you connect in a way that you think, wow, I've never seen anything like this before. He was fueled by an intense divine love and with a joy that was absolutely contagious. Now, when he passed, they did an autopsy on him, and his heart had grown large. In fact, in some reports, it was like 3 times the size of a natural heart. And the swelling, because of the swelling of the heart being so big, that 2 ribs had actually broken and curved in the form of a heart. Yeah. I think that's so cool. I dare you to pursue God. Okay, the third one is worship the great I Am. There's so much connection and worship. That's one of the things that we've been really experiencing in our prayer times. We just put on YouTube worship in the prayer room. And you can do that at home, too. You know, you can get up early and put it on and just connect with a full focus to the Lord in worship. And it's like this glory starts coming in and just leading and guiding us and saturating us and introducing us to his word and to his face. Worship the great I Am. Pray to the great I Am. We're not to be prayerless. Luke 18 talks about a persistence in prayer that God is looking for. As a woman who was relentless in her prayer, a widow, she went before a judge. And he kept saying no to her need, and she wouldn't take no for an answer. She just kept persisting and persisting and persisting until the judge says, "Oh man, lady, you're wearing me out." And he gave her exactly what she was looking for. And he said, "If an unrighteous judge will do this, how much more will your heavenly Father give to those who ask him, who are pushing through day and night?" Sometimes we just have to push through our own barriers. Like I say, it's not him withholding, but it does us good to connect with that push, to pay the price, so to speak. I love what, who was it? Dutch Sheets, I think, in his book, Intercessor. He says, push, P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. Okay, number 5, build yourself up in the power of the great I Am. Now, God's going to move sovereignly in these days, just like he did in Roe versus Wade. But even though it looks sovereign, there's always a connection to people who believe, okay? So, yes, he moves sovereignly at points that's divinely orchestrated, but the journey requires partnership with his people. And so exercise yourself, build yourself up in the power of the great I Am. And one of the things we're doing tons of right now is praying in tongues, partly because we don't know how to pray as we ought. And so we're just praying because what's about to come has not entered our ears, our eyes, our heart. You know, we don't know what it's going to look like. If we were to pray according to our own understanding all the time, we'd probably pray amiss. Because what God's going to do is beyond. He says, call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not.
For more information, resources, episodes, and more, connect with us at patriciakingministries.com.